You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Is that drool I see on you, Jay, because of NBA basketball?
No, but I did watch it. I was watching the game that was going on, just before I came in, just to see what it looked like. And,
it
it's real
like basketball.
It's real basketball, but it kind of looked like a scrimmage.
Yeah, you know? It
had a scrimmage feel to it. You know, they piped in some crowd noise and all that kind of stuff, but it sort of had a scrimmage feel to it.
Is that weird where baseball probably does not look like a scrimmage, but basketball does?
Yeah, and I don't know why that is. Maybe because baseball stadiums have been empty for a while. So.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But it's good to have two sports back.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're back, and there's two games today. The Lakers and the Clippers will be coming on in about an hour, I think. Another thing to watch. I had it on in the background. I watched the golf tournament today, and then
who'd you have this weekend?
I've got Rory McIlroy, and he's three over par.
Does he do well there? Well, because you're the kiss of death.
I'm a little upset with that. I am the kiss of death. And the thing was, I gave my sister some grief about her pick because he was two over after two holes, and then Rory was two over after two holes. At one point, he was five over on the day, but got it back to three. So, anyways, but then I got into the basketball, and I was interested to see what it was going to look like, like everything else. And it was
probably didn't see any preseason.
I don't watch any of the preseason.
That's right,
because
it looked yeah. exactly like.
But
that.
But this, I mean, it still had a scrimmage feel to it, but almost like an NBA All-Star game feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the intensity level or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe if you watch some more, maybe you get some teams that are. A little more uncertain about being in the playoffs. I don't know.
Right. We'll say some people are thinking that some guys will not go as hard as they would normally, given the situation. And you know this. We've talked about this maybe a week or so ago when we watch games and things like that. It's emotion plays a huge factor in everything. It's not about who the best players are, because sometimes they just don't show up.
Right. Sometimes that happens.
And if they're not emotionally ready or don't give a darn.
Right.
They don't play.
Right. And that was, that comes, I think, more into play at the college level where the players are, kind of immature, still growing up, mm-hmm. and maybe don't bring it, game to game.
What was the adage from Dick Tomey?
He said, anybody who bets on college sports is out of their minds.
Because they're
19 years. Anybody who bets on 18 and 19-year-old guys is just out of their minds.
Right.
I'm pretty much out of my mind.
That's why you're doing this show, man.
Exactly.
That's why you're doing this show. So a lot of things going on in college basketball. Today's guest is George Arias, local major league player, now a big-time club guy.
Yeah, he's a youth coach, and he's trying to create opportunities for youth baseball players, but made his way up through the ranks, Pueblo High School, Pima College, U of A, got to the major leagues, so clearly a guy who's seen it all, mm-hmm. and now he's been running a baseball academy and trying to get opportunities for kids to maybe get college scholarships and stuff like that. So he's a good story.
Yeah, we'll get to him after the first break, and we'll talk a little bit now about college football. All the other conferences are kind of following suit with the Pac-12 and other conferences.
Right. It seems that people the conferences are settling in to basically play within their conferences.
Right.
The ACC came out on Wednesday and said they wanted an 11-game schedule, 10 games within the conference, and then leave it open to play a non-conference game. And what they were targeting was those rivalry games they have with SEC teams, Georgia Tech, Kentucky Louisville,
right.
Florida State, and South Carolina and Clemson. Well, the SEC came out today and said, we're only playing in our conference, mm-hmm. which, I'm one of those people who's been incredibly critical of the SEC for having 14 teams in their league and only playing 8 conference games when everybody else plays 9. And so they get an extra gimme game a year, and consequently they've got a team in the national championship every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping by playing 10 conference games, that when the time comes to go kind of back to normal, instead of backing it back down to 8, they'll do what everybody else is doing and stay at 9.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this a little yesterday. I think this situation that we're going through will set the stage for other similar things. You know what I'm saying? It'll kind of reset everything. Recalibrate it.
Teams will kind of look at what they've done during this time and say, well, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
I really do hope that happens. I'd like to see 10 conference games.
And 12 total games, maybe?
Right, 12 total. Go schedule 2 non-conference games, right? Schedule a hard one and an easy one.
Right. And we're going to see, and we talked about this yesterday, I think that we're going to see the regional play will come into play because of the expenses.
Right. But again, you know, it looks like all the conferences are settling into conference only. The question is, what's the Big 12 going to do? Because the Big 12 has got 10 teams. That means unless you double up and play somebody twice, you've only got 9 conference games. So, you know, maybe they'll go off and play Kent State or a group of 5 game and their 9 conference games. But it looks like they're all pretty much staying within their conferences. I think, you know, as we talked to Dave Hickey last week about it, it's about, you know, being regional and then about controlling the testing and the travel and all that stuff.
And in about 24 hours from now, we should have some of the schedules out to talk about that, Arizona specifically.
Right. The Pac-12 should. There's a conference call or whatever, a conference of the
presidents,
and they're supposed to be voting on the schedule. So I'm hoping that by our show tomorrow, we have a good sense of what the schedule is. The information has gotten out. John Willner reported last week that the conference schedule or the league schedule will start on September 19th. The SEC announced today that their schedule is going to start on the 26th.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Just because
they do. You know, everybody's doing what they want to do, and you know, I was listening to a podcast with some national writers on the way in, and they were just kind of talking about that, how you really truly have different leagues just doing their own thing. There's no cohesiveness to it whatsoever. And they, you know, in the end, it's fine.
That's fine, right.
Because it wouldn't be fine if you were trying to play outside of conference. So that if, for instance, the Big 12 totally was trying to start right now, and they're going to start, some of their teams are going to start camp tomorrow, and if they're getting ready right now versus a league that's not going to start for another 3 weeks, you know, they've got an advantage. If you're just playing within your league and everybody's starting at the same time, then it really doesn't matter. By the time you get to the end of the season, everybody's got their season in, and now bowl games and playoffs and all that kind of stuff are all kind of the same.
Right. We had talked about, too, maybe last week, about how the NCAA has kind of almost stayed out of the way because they know they have not so much control, but they'll let the individual schools and the conferences deal with what they have to deal
with. Well, the conferences just said, we're not talking to you guys.
Stay out of the way.
Just stay out of our way.
Right.
And let us do this.
We just do it okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and people have been critical of the NCAA for that, but, you know, I, for one, feel like this is being handled as best as it could be handled. I like the fact that the Pac-12 is deciding what's best for the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. And it should be like that across the board because, again, there's a lot at stake here in terms of the programs, the money, the players themselves, the coaches. And, you know, what's going on in California is different from what's going on in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's better that people are in charge within their area. If you had, you know, the NCAA trying to dictate nationally and trying to put a blanket over all of it, I just don't think that would work.
Yeah, the blanket would probably be soggy in some places and not soggy in other places.
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but I'll go with it.
Let's take a quick break here. Come back with George Audius on the other side.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
There's a place in our house For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
We got to bleed this song out a little bit. Summertime. Did you have a hard time touching that handle to get in at this building? 120 degrees?
God, yeah. I mean, I got burns on my hand.
It was summertime. Yeah. This is like the death of summertime. This is crazy time.
It's just everything is hot when you go outside.
Look at this. Fires in the hills. No rain for months.
Well, they got the fire out, so we're happy with that. But yeah, yeah. I had to go skim my pool yesterday, and I picked up the pole. I had to throw it into the pool so that I could use it.
Right. No, I get that. I was holding the water, and it was like hot. Holy crap. So George Audius, we're trying to track him down. He might be hitting a single up the middle. We have to find him on the court. I think he's getting ready to go to Atlanta here.
Right.
Next year. So he told me that he was getting ready, but he'd be able to be with us.
Well, hey, I'm interested to talk to George because, my son went through and played high school baseball and did a couple of those, did a showcase and, just going through that experience. I thought, even though, Adam didn't go play college baseball, I thought he experienced a lot of great things with that. Mm-hmm. And I think it really did make him, just a better all around person, I guess, mm-hmm. if that's the best way to put it, because he was always competing, practicing, working hard, the grind of he worked with a baseball academy that was a 45 minute drive to go play with those guys over at mm-hmm. Over by Sporting Chance.
Oh, yeah.
There's some baseball fields in that area.
Yeah.
We live on the other side of town and, go on a Sunday and play baseball all day. But I just really felt it helped him kind of grow. And I think that sounds like that's exactly what George is trying to do with the kids that he has in his academy.
So you did that with Adam and probably some of the girls with softball.
I did.
I did it with the softball, with the soccer boys, my boys. Do you miss those days?
Yeah. Yeah,
those were the good old days.
I mean, I had three kids playing sports at the same time.
Yeah, you don't miss those days.
And those things were hard. We talked about them with, I can't remember, Julie.
Rosie.
Yeah. And, the grind of trying to go from one place to another, to another, to another. But when it was all done, yeah, I did miss, going to those games and being there and seeing them compete. And, we did baseball with Adam. We did softball with my daughter, Alana. She played some club ball. We went to tournaments, mostly within the state. And then Rachel did volleyball and, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be in the Phoenix area for a volleyball tournament and getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and stuff like that. So, but I wouldn't have traded anything for it, but I always try to keep it in perspective for them in terms of, in the end, you're just trying to compete. Mm-hmm. And if something results as it comes up from this, great. My daughter Alana did play 1 year of college softball at a small Division III school, Scripps mm-hmm. College in Southern California, and
she like it.
She did. She didn't play much. You know, she was a pitcher, and she pitched in one game, and it was hard for her because, you know, she was going to practice every day and not playing much, but she had a good time.
Great, great, great. No, it's beneficial. The kids did it. My kids did the same thing, just in soccer. Hey, now on the phone we have George Arias. George, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, my man?
Good, good. Good to hear from you. I know you're going to be on the road here in a day or so. Congratulations on your success with the kids.
Thank you, thank you. It's definitely a blessing to watch these kids grow up and become young, fine men.
Well, George, this is Jay Gonzalez. We were just talking about that because, you know, my son did some club baseball. But, to me, the goal was always to have them, you know, grow up in this and not, you know, keep it in perspective. And it seems like that's what you're trying to do with these guys.
Well, baseball is definitely an avenue to teach kids life skills and core values. And that's the way it should be. All sports should be that way. And that's what we try to do. We try to take the intricacies of the game and teach these kids how to see the game from winning the game, how to take the failure aspect and how it reveals their character, and that allows us to build character. So we try to take a lot of the things that the game has to offer and really shape these kids into becoming young, fine men.
So tell us what you're going to be doing in Atlanta. How many kids? How did this happen?
PBR is a big organization across the country. This is an individual showcase where kids go try out in their respective state, and they take the best, 15, 20 kids to represent Arizona. And I happen to have a good group of young men on one team, and they're all juniors this year. And frankly, there's probably two more that could have made this team, to be honest. We are blessed to have eight kids make it and represent Arizona.
And the goal when you take them is to get them some visibility, right? I mean, we're trying to get them, you know, opportunities, college scholarships, that kind of stuff, I presume.
Right, right. Everything we do is to train and get these kids to that next level. So the tournaments that we play in is to be in front of college coaches. This event, last year I took my son, and there was over 200 college scouts here. And it's a great opportunity because all the kids that play in this, like Team Arizona, Team Washington and California and Florida and so forth and so on, they're all uncommitted players. So that's why it's such a big event for scouts to go. Unfortunate this year, you know, obviously scouts can't go. So, but what they're going to be doing is they're going to be streaming. So I would imagine there'll be many, many more scouts on the streamline to watch all these players perform.
One of them happens to be your son, who plays shortstop for the Tucson High.
Correct, correct. He happens to be one of them.
How do you separate yourself as in between, you know, being the coach and being the dad, and you know, and all that type of stuff? And then second, you know, are these guys? Do they understand your background and you know what you came up through, you know, high school, junior college, and then ultimately getting to the pros? I mean, are they curious about that?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, it's sometimes it's difficult to coach your own kid because they always look at you as father. Yeah, yes, Dad. I know. But I take that as a challenge, and I challenge every dad out there that's trying to coach their kid is how to get their kids to understand on the field that you're a coach and off the field you're dad. And you got to be able to separate the two, and sometimes it's very difficult to kids to understand that. But you got to really be on your toes as a coach to really stress that and treat them the same as all the other players. Sit them when they need to be seated. Take them out of the game so other people can play so they can understand what it feels like to be a great teammate, so forth and so on. It's tough, but it's fun. Definitely fun. I wouldn't change it for the world. I've been able to train two kids up in baseball, and it, you know, it's been a blast. But getting them to see, you know, I think about 10 years ago, players wanted to play Major League Baseball. That was their mindset, and we've always heard that everybody wants to be in the big leagues. But I think the mind has shifted somewhat to everybody wants to play college now. So that's why everybody's really training hard and playing in these tournaments so they can get looked at to get their school paid for. And I always mention to my kids that we're going to train you to get to that next level. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a Division I school. It could be a JUCO, a junior college. What I don't understand, and I try to stress to my players, is you might be good enough to play at D1, but you're playing with kids that are 2-3 years older than you. You might not start your first year.
Right.
So why not go to a JUCO and start and play and get your at-bats, you know, and get more experience? So that's kind of the mentality that I try to train my kids, you know, try to get them to see the big picture. There's more than one way to get to professional baseball. There's different avenues, but sometimes some of these kids have to understand they got to be realistic. They're not D1 players right now. And JUCO is their best route, or D2 or D3 or so forth and so on.
Or you can be a guy named Nick Gonzalez and not get recruited and go to New Mexico State and all of a sudden become this guy who's going to be drafted early in your career. How does that stuff happen?
You know what? He's always been the guy. The problem is our society likes to label people, and especially in baseball. They look at your size, and that's what they do with you. And like I tell a lot of my players, you're not 6'3", 6'4", so strike one against you. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way the business. But if you're going to let that deter you, then you might as well just quit sports, you know. But the one thing I always teach my kids is the baseball doesn't know how big you are. It doesn't know how big your heart is. So you go out there and you play, and you go out there and play to the best of your ability, and you keep training, and you train your mindset, and you keep working hard, and you be committed and persistent, and all those sacrifices that you're making will soon pay off, because it's going to carry over to life. And, you know, a lot of these kids are starting to understand that. And the thing is, it's really getting parents on board.
Good luck. Kids, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, with my background, I have a little more credibility than a lot of other coaches. So parents are trusting me, but sometimes they have a hard time when their kid's not a starter.
Right.
And my message to them is, just because your kid's not a starter doesn't mean he doesn't have any self-worth.
Right.
You know, he's important to the team. So I try to get them to understand, if you want to be a starter, work at it. You got to show me that you're going to be a guy that's going to come on and be reliable.
Go ahead. So George, we're going to take a quick break here. We want to come back and kind of do some reminiscing with you, talk about your local baseball league times and your U of A times and pro times. We'll come right back.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President's Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it, is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have George Audius, former U of A standout, pro major leaguer. So, George, you're talking about kids now aspiring to get to college to play ball, not so much the major leagues. What did George Audius aspire to be when he was a kid, and maybe at Pueblo and maybe the JC level in Arizona?
Growing up, all I wanted to do was play in the major leagues. My dad passed away when I was 11 years old, and he's the one that introduced me to baseball. What I used to do as a kid is I used to put a picture of my father in my hat, and at every game,
you know, Anthem or in high school, I would look at his head and just kind of make a promise, say, you know, I'm going to get to the big league, Dad, you know, and it just kind of it inspired me and motivated me to make, you know, right choices and kind of sacrifices, not do some of the things that other guys were doing, you know. And that kind of helped me and motivated me to stay on path.
Well, and you took the junior college route. So, you know, you're talking about that a second ago. What was going through your mind versus, you know, trying to get on with a mate, you know, with a Division I school? You did end up at Arizona, but, you know, what went into your decision to go to Pima?
Well, again, growing up, you know, with a single mother trying to raise, you know, seven kids, it was hard for her to keep track. So I never really took school serious. I didn't do too well in high school in a sense of taking my SAT and ACT. So when you do that, there's not going to be any Division I's that are going to recruit you.
Right.
I don't care how good you are.
Right.
And I just barely had the grades to pass. So I went the Pima route. And that's the one thing that I do with my academy is I make sure that I hold my kids accountable with their grades. So, you know, we send out progress reports because I get them to understand the importance of education. I want them to understand the importance of being a student athlete because I know the struggles that I went through. So I'm trying to make them an all-around player on what it takes, because these D1 coaches are not going to be coming after players that are got a 2.0 GPA, you know?
Right.
This ain't going to happen. So, and I take pride in that with our kids because, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier or not, but, you know, the team I have, we have a 3.6 or higher GPA, you know, and I'm proud of that, you know, because these kids really understand our message.
Did you catch a break at all? Or I'm sure you make your own breaks, maybe at Pima to get to Arizona, because I know you were a heck of a good hitter, played very good at third. Just, you know, some people need to catch breaks. I know we do all do. Did you catch one at all?
I did catch a break in a sense of, you know, I got dropped in my freshman year. You know, in college, again, my mindset was to play pro ball. Getting drafted in the 21st round my freshman year, they didn't offer me much. So I went back my sophomore year. Again, I got drafted my sophomore year. The offer that they gave me was pretty much a slap in my face. But and the reason they came at me with a low offer was because I didn't do too well in school. But Coach Kendall came to me and said, George, we really want you at U of A. But the only way you can come and play for us at U of A is that you got to graduate at Pima. And what that did for me, it gave me some hope. I had to go to summer school in the summer of 92, taking 15 units. I had to go to summer school for 9 hours a day for 6 weeks. And I had to do that because I had to graduate. And you're amazed what you can do when you apply yourself, you know?
Right.
And I did. I passed all my classes with flying colors, and I went to U of A, you know? And I think the break that you catch is having people instill hope in you. You know, if you give somebody hope, it goes a long way. And that's one of the things I try to do with these kids is I try to get them to believe that they do have worth, that they do have self-worth, you know, and that they can do it and they can make it. You know, so just because all of this is a reflection of me growing up.
Well, and then you got your year in at the U of A, and then you got drafted well enough to obviously sign and go. So, you know, when you've had that realization, I'm going to go play pro baseball. What was that like for you? I mean, so many people who have the dream and don't quite get there. I mean, what was that like for you?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's exciting. It really is exciting. You know, you're like, you know, I made it to pro ball, but what people don't realize, the road to get to the big leagues, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, my first year after U of A, I went to spring training in Phoenix for a week or two, and then they sent me out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I had a room up with five people, you know, where you get paid $8.50 a month. So it's minor leagues is very, very tough. I ran into a lot of guys that were way better than me that didn't make it. You know, just bad choices that they made. So The road is hard. You know, there's a lot of things that go on that that can stray you away from the game. So when parents tell me, "Oh, I want my kids to play in the big leagues," inside of me says, "Are you sure?" You know.
So, well, when you
it's just the facts. You know, I mean, it's just hard. But again, it can be a game you love. I mean, if you love to play the game, the one thing I always try to teach my players is the why. Why do you play the game? Because you're going to come at some point in your life in a game where you're going to struggle and you're going to feel like you're worthless and you can't play and nobody likes you. If you love the game that much, you're going to find a way to get through it. And those times are tough, you know? You know, for an example, I've always done well hitting, college, high school, college, minor leagues, and I got to the big leagues my first year, and I struggled. Man, it hit me hard. You know, I thought the world was going to end. So that's the one thing I really try to do with my kids is really get them to understand the why. Why do you play this game? Because if you really love this game, you're going to go out there and you're going to put the time. And you're going to be committed and do the things that you have to do to get better.
So when you got to the big leagues, what did you tell your dad's picture?
What did I tell it?
Yeah, what did you say to it? You know, because that was your thing. That was you kept telling him, you know, as a kid, I'm going to make it.
It's rewarding. You know, I mean, you've been inspired your whole life. Something motivating you, you know. And truth be told, as you get older, you know, pitchers start to fade away and whatnot, but it was still rewarding because I knew why I was playing this game. And you start getting there and you start playing. It's rewarding when you can understand that if you can go out there and play this game of baseball and treat it as a game and have fun, even though it's a job, inside of you has to treat it like it's a game, because if it's a job, you're going to worry about the paper. What are they writing about you? Are they going to send me down to the minor leagues? Am I going to get released? Are they talking about me? The owner doesn't like me. You know, you start getting into all of that. It just takes the fun away and you can't perform. And that's in any job, you know?
When you see the kids now, you know, can you compare them to you as you were coming up? You know, how are they the same? How are they different? I mean, you know, from where I sit, you know, I went through the club baseball, club softball, club volleyball thing, you know, I'll just say the parents were the worst, but and I tried really hard not to be one of those parents, but you know, when you see the kids themselves, How do they compare to what your mindset was back when you were making your way through?
Well, I wonder. I think it's harder now for these kids because parents get more involved. You know, my dad being gone, I don't know. Would I be still talking to you guys today if my dad was still around? You know, I don't know. But what I do know is parents make it really, really hard for these kids now. And every year I tell the parents and I give them this, you know, I read this thing in a paper, and Steve, I don't know if I shared it with you before, but you know, they interviewed 100 collegiate scholar athletes and they asked them, you know, what was the worst time growing up? And they said, when my parents came to the game. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They said the ride home from the game. With
Makes total sense.
So, yeah, it makes sense because the parents just beat up their kids on the way home, you know?
Right.
And the other question they asked them was, well, what was the best time? They said, well, when my grandparents came, because all they said was, I love to watch you play.
Right. That's a good point.
So when you stress this to the parents, and I tell the parents, I tell them, I said, if it doesn't hit you in the gut, something's wrong. You know, so you have to understand that on the way home, kids don't care. They want to be kids, you know?
Right.
But we just have to get them to understand that on the field, we're going to go have fun, put all the work that you've done into it, and now it's your time.
And they only have one coach, not their parents coaching, not everybody else telling them what to do.
Yeah. It's just very difficult. I mean, when I had my academy at 11 teams, I told the parents, I asked them, do you know what the number one fear these kids have? It's not fear of failure in baseball. It's fear of letting their parents down. And I tell them, you guys have to understand that. They're out there, and they want to just get loved by you guys. But when you guys come home and beat them up, it takes the fun away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, you guys are hindering their performance and their potential. You know? It's just it's just sad, but it's true.
And the parents are probably in denial of that.
Well, I think a lot of parents will agree, but then they don't know how to exercise it, right?
Right.
So, and they're like, yeah, you're right, you know. But again, then they go and do it. So, I think we have to educate the parents as well and try to get them to understand. And I've told parents sometimes, you know, I had to remove kids from my academy because I said, parents, I just can't see you do this to your kid. So. This academy isn't for you.
And that's a great approach. I mean, there's just not enough of that. And it's great to hear that that's a big part of it, because I mean, I agree with you. I coached my son in high school. I don't know what he thought of that. I think he'll probably tell you that he got treated worse because of who he was, yeah. Not better. But, you know, I think he had fun, but, you know, let me put it this way. We never have a conversation where he says, Dad, I hated you as my coach.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny you said, because I bumped heads with my kids both years of freshman year. And I told them, I said, you know, I really had a heart-to-heart talk with them. I said, listen, I said, listen, guys, I don't want to fight with you guys. At the end of the day, I want to be your dad. If you guys don't want me to coach, I'll walk away,
yeah.
Because I enjoy the ride home with you, and I want to have a baseball conversation, you know, or a conversation about anything. But I don't want to be fighting with you guys. So if you want me to back away from coaching, stepping out of the coaching staff, I'll do it. You know, just tell me, what role do you want me to play?
Yeah.
And my kids say, you know what, Dad, you know, I want you to still coach me. I said, okay. But if you want me to coach you, I'm going to have to push you.
Yep.
And I'm going to kick you in the butt sometimes, and you're not going to like it, because sometimes as human beings, we like to get lazy, you know? So understand that. And ever since we've had that conversation, you know, obviously I backed down a little bit, but our relationship has been much, much better, you know? But I'm just trying to get the kids to understand of, if you want to get to the next level, you got to work.
Right,
you got to
right.
work. These college coaches are no jokes.
Right. George, be safe on your trip to Georgia. Be well.
Best of luck to you and all your guys. I got told to ask you one question. Okay, and this is that question about who's your favorite. Which of your sons is the better ball player?
My daughter.
good answer. Really good answer.
George, be well.
George, thanks so much.
All right, that was George Audius.
You're welcome. Take care.
Good luck.
Headed to Atlanta with this group of kids, good kids, good baseball players. Well, let's take our last break here and come back on the other side.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Go local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster. Like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And was that like a Donna Summer, do you play on names or something here?
I just had a theme to the music today. It all involved heat or hot. Oh, or
we should play that game.
We set a record today.
Yeah.
Donna Summer was hot.
Well, we set a record today. 110 degrees at the airport is a new record. Beat the record of 109 in 1986.
But it's still a dry heat.
It's always a dry heat.
I'm golfing at 10:30 on Saturday. So, you know.
Good luck with you. Good luck with that. Hey, you know what? I was going to ask you. Great talking to George. And you used to coach. And I was a parent of two pretty good soccer players. If you were king of the world in the youth program, any sport, whatever you want, and regarding parents, what rule would you make? I have mine.
I would probably, if you come to a game, you just shut the hell up.
Yeah, that's not going to work, but that's a rule.
But
that's the number one problem.
Yeah. But no, I did have a rule. I my rule with parents was, don't talk to me about your kids' playing time.
Well, I think you yeah.
Plain and simple. I don't want to hear about your kids' playing time. You know, every kid's got an equal shot. You're just going to have to trust me on that. Don't come and complain to me that your kid's not playing enough.
Well, there was one who said, don't play him there.
Well, yeah, there was that. But, you know, it's like, well, you know, when you're talking Little League, it's kind of like everybody plays. But, you know, I coached my son in high school. I was an assistant coach for 2 years. Then I was the head coach for 2 years at St. Gregory. And then I was an assistant softball coach with my daughter, you know, playing softball. And so I thought we had a great time.
With both of them.
I don't think they'll tell you any different, really. There was the time that, you know, my son Adam, his senior year, he pitched. We had a doubleheader, so we were a little short on pitchers, so he threw 166 pitches in a game, and then he had to play shortstop in the second game. But, you know, things like that that we talk about that were fun. But I don't think we ever had any kind of a big disagreement or anything like that about, you know, him as a ball player for me.
So what about, because you had both, you know, a boy and a girl playing, worst parents, the girls' softball team or the, or just, you know what I'm saying?
It was the girls' parents, both softball and volleyball. I dealt with softball and volleyball.
Because?
They were... I'm going to say a really sexist thing. I don't think moms are very realistic about the realities of what it takes to be a college athlete.
So it was more moms than dads.
Yeah. You know, the very first club tournament that my daughter played in, we went to a tournament in Prescott. And, you know, we were several games into it. I'd seen a bunch of games and stuff like that. And, you know, two rows behind me, there were two moms talking about whether or not their girls were going to play at ASU or Arizona.
How old were they?
They were juniors in high school.
Okay.
And my daughter was a senior, so it was juniors and seniors. And I wanted to turn around and tell them, ma'am, I've been here for 2 days. I haven't seen one player on any team that could play at Arizona or ASU, so you need to shake yourself.
Right. You know? That's unrealistic expectations.
And the same thing of volleyball. You know, for softball and volleyball, we're in the Pac-12 footprint. The Pac-12 is probably the best league in both sports.
Right.
Moms and dads out there listening to this right now, shake yourself.
Get a grip.
The kids that are playing on Pac-12 teams stand out, and you can tell the minute you see them.
True.
You know, yes, some of them work hard and they get better and they make it. But your kid has to have a special natural talent to be able to play, in addition to doing the work to play at that level.
Right.
That conversation just cracked me up so bad. I'm like, I want to say, which daughters are yours? Because you know what? I can't tell. And if I can't tell them above the others, they're not going to either of those schools.
I know, Tom, you have something probably to say, but let me say something real quick. So if I were the king of the castle here if I had enough of the parents, I would say, okay, guys, you're not allowed to come to the games. You're going to get a videotape of the game. And if you want to watch it this way, this is how you're going to watch the kids, because there's no way, other way. You're not going to coach them on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk. You know, the funny thing about it is I'm Hispanic. Obviously, we all know that's not a secret. But it's kind of like where they don't think I speak Spanish or understand Spanish. And a lot of them would chirp in Spanish. And you're thinking, come on, guys, shut up. And,
yeah.
You understand what we're saying? Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Enough already. It's
absolutely.
Just kids.
Yeah. No. And I fortunately was involved with teams that didn't, you know, at St. Gregory, we were a small school. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
a lot of people.
Everybody
played.
Who came out for the team mm-hmm. made the team. So, you know, we didn't have a ton of that. It was in the, you know, in the club, you know, in the club circuit, whether it was baseball with Adam, not so much. He played some fall baseball. He did some club ball, you know, got into soccer his last 2 years of high school and really, he played varsity baseball, played soccer, played basketball the whole bit. But, you know, we did the club thing for volleyball and softball. And that was just nuts. My wife reminded me, we went through cheer as well.
Oh, yeah. That's probably cutthroat. They make movies from that stuff. Come on. You know that.
Oh, man.
Tom?
Yeah, I actually wanted to second what Jay is saying, and this is from a player's perspective. When I was playing high school hockey in Buffalo, which matters, the moms were the worst. The dads, a lot of them would kind of clump together with their cup of coffee and occasionally yell things. So one team dad might be a bad actor, but holy cow, the mothers. They were by far the loudest, the worst, and the language
and the most emotional.
Crazy. Oh, for sure. And it was the kids who were embarrassed by their parents for the most part on my team in the locker room, and we talk about it after the game. It was by the moms.
Mom, yeah.
And it's sad, but there were kids on that team who wished their mothers never went to the games because they embarrassed them.
That's not good.
Yeah. You know what? And I got to say, my wife was great about that because, you know, she was a team mom and all of those things. But, you know, there were times she had to tell me to shut the hell up, you know, when I was spectating, you know.
Right.
I don't want to paint all moms like that. A lot of great moms, of course, and stuff like that. And, you know, we had so many the volleyball moms, the softball moms, and the cheer moms. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I could see the chair with the mean girls.
We're going to get yelled at for this one.
You are, yeah, good for you.
No, somebody out there is upset with us right now because
as long as you're fine going home and Gab's going to be good to you, you're
going to be. She's going to be fine with me. Yeah. You know what? It's takeout Thursday. I'm bringing home the food. She'll be happy with me.
Right. Hey, good show today. I know we have a little bit more time. Tomorrow,
hopefully, we're talking Pac-12 schedule and stuff. So we'll see. We're maybe trying to get an analyst or an expert on or two that can come and help us run through this. But
we'll get you on the record.
We're going to see the schedule.
We're going to get you on the record.
If it comes out in time, I'll go on the record with my call for the, you know, for the wins. I mean, we're getting closer. They're going to start, you know, practicing in a couple of weeks if they're going to be starting September 19th.
I think you went with 6-6 in the regular schedule. If it's more than four, under any circumstances, I'd be a little shocked.
I'll preview it. I'm looking for four wins. Okay, I'm mm-hmm. looking for four wins. I don't know if they're out there,
right?
But I'm looking for four.
This will be a tougher schedule than what they were going to go into play.
Absolutely, you throw in an extra Pac-12 game over mm-hmm. a couple of gimme non-conference games. It's going to be it's harder, but I think it'll be more fun.
Sure, should be. We'll dissect it tomorrow. Thanks everybody for listening. Good show, Jay.
Thanks to George Arias, and good luck to his kids in Atlanta.